Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I will say that like that choice was like one of the first things that Dave and I kind of came up with as like a plot point in this season. I don't think we did a very good job because it ended with a baby.
Where's Baston?
He was training in the jungle,
bombing pancakes.
He was running with the wolves.
Where was Fields?
Learning to read from the talking dog, yeah.
Where's Banknote?
He runs his papa's company,
the Dark Lord's Trust.
He's a very naughty man.
Finally together,
the life of hope we call the dragon friend.
Agitators, miscreants, those who serve the powers down below, children of the gentles, noble warriors of the commons, hear me. It is I, Janos Mir, and Banknote remains at large. But let us not dismay, my brothers and sisters. Let us not worry in these troubled times. For Lothario Windswept III and Eleanor Grundle have put aside their distances, their differences, the commotions that lay between them, and in that have found a beautiful kinship. And that kinship has borne fruit, and that fruit is a child in a small nappy and the most beautiful bonnet you have ever seen. And that child will rule this resistance, will take the fight back to Strahd, and shall bring freedom once again to this Sword Coast that we love so dear. Lofty Eleanor, show us the baby king. And the two of them hold up, swaddled in a white linen nappy, holding aloft a beautiful chromatic lollipop in one hand and a rattle in the other, with a cutesy bunnet, swaddled in cloths, pampered in baby powder, and looking incredibly well-shaved and uncomfortable, the figure of Bobby Pancakes, as the crowd begins to chant, baby king, baby king, baby king.
Gagoo, gaga, gagoo.
So he speaks, and so it is so. Now go back to the resistance. Lay out the posters. Recruit more for our cause. There is much to do, as all of the resistance revolutionaries chant, baby king one last time, and depart out into the sewers, as Janos Mir looks satisfied and then throws a bag containing your clothes back at you, Bobby. And he's like, you look ridiculous. Put these back on.
Fuck you.
And all of you, meet me in my office quickly. Inside his office, he's back behind his chair and he goes, that seemed to go quite well.
Yeah, look, I don't actually, you know, we put all together in one day. Not everything about the Baby King coronation was perfect. I'm not 100% sure why it had to be Bobby. You know, it was all that thing where, you know, just, you know, a couple of hours into it, I thought, this could just be any baby. Like, it could be one of the street babies that I have, you know.
But everyone agreed at the time.
Everyone agreed at the time it had to be Bobby. So, Bobby, I respect you. Fair play to you, lad, for stepping up and being baby king. Long may he reign, etc.
Why did we all have to wear nappies as well?
Well, that's just a consistency thing, isn't it? Plus, I bought them in bulk. And I think they look nice. You're not complaining.
Baston said, if you're wearing the nappy, you have to use it. I know, Banknote, you said that, didn't you?
No, I said the opposite. I said, just because you're wearing a nappy doesn't mean you have to use it. Now,
all right, now.
Their nappy? Come on.
Listen, I don't want to get into who's used their nappy and who hasn't, all right?
I have.
All right, well done.
Congratulations.
Look, we need to talk. The resistance is unified. The civil war, such as it was, is over. We need to talk about bringing down Strahd.
Totally.
You are, depressingly enough, some of my best people. And you've got to decide where you're going to go. As far as I see it, there are a couple.
And the fact that some of you are currently shitting yourself is upsetting, to be true.
But look, as far as I can see, I want to talk it out where you want to go next.
Where's Strahd?
That's a good question, he goes on to say.
Yeah, now look, I've had some intel. I've debriefed the married couple. They've combined their resources and let me know some interesting things. So first of all, Strahd's gone back home. He's in Barovia currently. That's where you'll find him. Secondly,
now that's a secret, and that took Miss Grundle a while to understand. As far as anyone knows that he's in control, he's acting like he's in the palace, but he's long gone.
Well, who's in charge in his stead? Who's his deputy?
Well, LaCroix runs Daggerford in Waterdeep. I imagine it's probably the Masked Lords. But look, that's not our concern currently. Yeah, Eleanor has also revealed. Sorry, just sort of, you know, dropped a big one there. That the Master Lords, as we all suspected, are under the control.
Sorry, was that in your nappy, or
that's what I was wondering too.
could you do me a favour, Banknote? Could you grow up for just a second?
Come on,
can you do that
for
me, mate?
It was fun. We're all having a good time.
You dropped a big one.
Okay, well that's hilarious, Filch. Well done. She's done it again.
Filch.
Anyway, point is, listen. Master Lords in Waterdeep, according to Eleanor Grundle, the intel that she, I've got to admit, did a very good job at gathering at that little nightclub of hers. We know a couple of things. One, like I say, Strahd is no longer here. He's in Barovia. Two, the Master Lords of Waterdeep are under Strahd's control. That one's a bit of a no-brainer. Did need to set up an elaborate school and vampire cabaret to figure that out. But fair play to her. We have confirmation. Now, over to the singing idiot. In Daggerford.
Please, that's my father.
You really built buying into this role, and I appreciate that.
Have another lollipop.
Over to the singing idiot. In Daggerford, LaCroix is using the red houses to take people's essences and ship them up north. Now, as to what that's about, we're not entirely sure, but none of it seems very good. North.
And that's true. Remember, you all found a facility in the Flosin Estates where some kind of vials that had been extracted from people in the red houses were charging stone tablets that were being shipped up north. You remember that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You never quite worked out what that was about.
The piss machine.
What do you mean by essences?
So it wasn't entirely clear. It was that whatever had been transported came in vials. The residues of them seemed to create mists that evoked memories of those people. So it was some kind of life force, lifeblood, something that was a new type of magic that you haven't seen before.
But I think also in Flosin, there's also a side quest for us because we met a man who used to be a prince, I think.
Ah, now on that, I'm really glad you brought that up. The proof of his birthright is located in an undersea cave.
Only three of the most powerful hags in the Sword Coast have the keys that open that cave. Two of them have them on their person. The third is auctioning her key off tonight at a special auction that the cream of the cream of Waterdeep society will be bidding on. Once you find those three keys, and then once you unlock the mystery of the stone golem.
Now, I've already sent a cell to that auction, so we don't need to worry about it. We'll talk about it, but I will be sure to let you know in a later time how that unravels. Now listen.
We'll give Rummy our best.
So,
his name was Rummy.
So listen.
I wrote it down. I just thought I should say it.
Oh, Rummy Tompkins?
Yeah, Rummy.
One thing that Lofty has figured out is where those essences are going.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, they're going north, which we knew, but at best we can tell, they're going to a place called Icewind Dale.
Ooh.
Icewind Dale is beyond the spine of the world mountains near the Sea of Frozen Ice. It is the cold, inhospitable north of the Sword Coast, where only the hardiest survive. It is the land of white dragons, frost giants, and Goliaths. It is a hugely cold and miserable place. The final frontier as you travel up the Sword Coast.
So look, the way I see it, guys, you have four options. Now, I'm actually hesitant to say that because just this time yesterday, I thought you had two options and then we got King Baby. So
if anything, every time he says it, now that it's too late, Janos Mir feels like he's less confident in the ruse of King Baby.
Anyway, it was a great idea.
Could we just remember that you were very swept up in this idea when it happened?
Yeah, no,
like,
it was just
you
very
were enthusiastic
persuasive.
From day dot.
I mean, look, I'll wear it. You know, I've got to back my own our decisions, but...
In terms of that kind of persuasion only happens 5% of the time.
Anyway, point is, as I see it, but I'll be open to other suggestions, you could head to Barovia and confront Strahd, although... I mean, you could head to Barovia and do a lot of things. I wouldn't necessarily confront Strahd right now. You could head to Icewind Dale. You could go back to Daggerford, where I think your mate LaCroix still is. Or I suppose we can
shut down that we kill LaCroix, we shut down that operation.
Or I figure you could stay here and we can try and work out some things with the Masked Lords.
Now, I have not been, as of late, I am recently deciding, making the best decisions, possibly connected to this massive head trauma that happened to me when they tried to hang me a few weeks ago. So I'm going to throw this one over to you. You're my best team. You decide where you want to go. I will send different cells to do the other missions. I don't know if any of them are as strong as you, but you pick what you think is most important.
Okay, Dragon Huddle.
All right. Now, what happened after we left this land? Strahd appeared, and then bada boom, bada bing, bada boom, bada bing. He's over in Barovia, but he's taken over Waterdeep, and things are being sent from Daggerford north to Icewind Dale. Where is... I say we cut off the head of the beast.
You want to go to Strahd himself?
Well, I mean, I'll be honest, I don't understand entirely what's going on.
I think we should work our way up the chain. It's a war. Mm-hmm. We need to claim territory. It's not enough for us to go and attack him because he'll still have all of his minions here and in Daggerford and elsewhere. I think we're here now. We have a power base here. We consolidated by taking out the Masked Lords.
And take back Waterdeep.
Yes. That would be my suggestion. Filge, Baby King, your thoughts?
Well, goo goo gaga is all I got to say. But I guess I'm following the lead of my good friend Baby King.
Baby King, sorry. It's with you.
I mean, Icewind Dale sound cool. I gotta say, like, the appeal of that, new surroundings, frosty wind on my nose, sounds good. But I understand, you know, we can make a name for ourselves here, unmask some lords.
We're not doing a holiday. It's a war. We're not going sightseeing in the icy man's cave or whatever it is.
If the essences are being sent to Icewind Dale, it suggests that Strahd needs whatever's coming out of Icewind Dale as a result to maintain his power. So if we cut that off, we have that as leverage against
him. Okay, all I'm hearing is goo goo gaga. Is anyone else? Who else is okay. Just...
Fine, let me just put some pants on.
Guys, I'm feeling a sudden moment of lucidity. We go to Daggerford. We hitch / hijack the next shipment of stuff from LaCroix heading north, assume the identity of the Wagoneers, and go in that way.
Point of order, are they going
go
by...
Go to Icewind Dale from Daggerford.
Are they going by boat along the coast, or are they going... Dave, do we have that information?
No, so you'd remember this. The wagons that came out of Daggerford went north through the Flossen Estates, and then they were picked up to travel further north.
Oh, from the Flossen Estates is
mainland.
Where they head north.
Yeah, yeah,
from.
Flossen Estates is to the northwest of Daggerford.
Road trip.
All right, well, I guess let's...
But we already got photos at the Flossen Estate.
So you're...
Why me go back there so soon?
Now, you're all in a huddle, so Janos, one of you is going to have to explain to Janos your plan.
All right, Janos, old chum, old beggar king, old...
I don't know you very well.
We're not following you anymore, we're following a new king, a baby king.
Yep.
And the baby king says, head north.
Again, just hearing the phrase baby king says, I mean, it's just... Anyway, it's fine.
We think it best to pull the thread of the wee-wee machine at the Flossen Estates. See what the wee-wee magic has been putting
you
into the hard rocks.
Just call it the wee-wee machine, Ian.
I've already called it the wee-wee machine.
Sorry, are you talking about the contraption that Lofty told me that Filge pissed in?
Yes, the wee-wee machine.
That's not what it's called.
That's what whatever it's called, it's got wee in it. Look, I was out of town. I was training in the jungle. And I don't really know what has happened in this war or how you've let control slip out of your hands. But I know one thing. I hate Strahd. But I know another thing. He's pretty fucking scary. So I think if we head north and hamstring him as best as we can, that's a good start.
That's smart. I can't argue with that. So to Daggerford then.
And from there north to Icewind Dale.
Now, Daggerford is going to be tricky. You were some of the last people to travel freely around the Sword Coast. You went to Daggerford, you started a lot of fires. And since then, Strahd's grip on the trade way, all of the old roads of the Sword Coast has only become stronger. And now travel is almost completely locked down except for essential business.
Sounds vaguely familiar. Yeah.
What if we dressed up as three wise men following a star across a desert, but we've already found the baby and we're taking the baby to...
I'm not staying as a baby, for fuck's sake.
No, look, Bobby is dressed as a man now and I think he should probably stay dressed as a... The more I think about it, yeah, that's better. What's happening here is better. Look...
Well, if the people realize the baby king has left the city, your power base will be totally destabilized.
If I may interrupt for just a hot little minute here, Bobson's been there the whole time and everybody jumps. Last night, before all this baby king nonsense happened, I worked out a pretty bloody good way to get you out of the city. If anybody cares to hear what Bobson has to say. Does anybody?
There's got to be a plan.
Does anybody?
Okay, Bobson. Do your TED talk.
Okay, listen, it's really simple. You guys are going to leave the city disguised as adjudicators.
Oh, cool.
Okay, do we as he says that, he pulls out a small satchel and starts throwing down what looks like some kind of papers and big adjudicator capes and a wooden wand.
Okay, so last night when I heard that you guys, you know, had basically, you know, murdered some people in the street, I thought, first of all, classic bloody Dragos, but second, they're going to need some safe passage. So I went to the Sneaky Monkey. That's a friendly little pub that adjudicators often frequent, and I started talking to these five adjudicators, right? They tell me that they're going to do a delivery tonight, which will get you right out of the city to an inn nearby. The inn is called the Wizard Dick, and it's a horrible place, but that's...
Sorry, the Wizard Dick?
The Wizard Dick.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Not the Wizard's Dick.
No, it's the Wizard Dick, like the Wizard Richard, but to his friends.
Yeah, that's what it's called. Anyway, guys, listen, the point is, it's perfect. So I knocked him out with some drugs that I had, and, Okay, so they're asleep... or dead. I don't know because, you know, every time you go under general, it's a risk, okay? I've got their clothes, I've got their likeness, we've got some spells, we're going to disguise ourselves as those guys.
Do you still have the bodies?
Excuse me?
Do you still have the bodies?
No, I said that, I mean, they're probably not dead. They're in the cellar of the Sneaky Monkey.
Could I have one of them?
No. What? No.
Okay.
Okay. That got...
Looking a little pale there, Banknote.
I don't know. I just thought there was some blood. Is this some sort of... I could have or something. I don't know.
You're a bit different since I last saw you. It's you've got a sort of a lust in your eyes for something.
Do you have any? Do you have any bodies anyway? Any other bodies?
Well, I mean, everybody's a body. You know what I mean? Everybody's a body if you hit him hard enough.
By magic, I should say that Neosel has a battered wand of disguise self, which is a spell that you know, Bobby, one that you can use. And he has also this identification papers have likenesses of the guards
so look,
and names.
This is a no-brainer, guys. We just get in the wagon, take whatever it is they were transporting up to this inn, drop the inn, have a kip, and then another person from a distance going to pick us up in the morning, take us to Waterdeep.
Waterdeep.
Do you want to
wait to Daggerford?
Daggerford,
or to the Forest Estates?
Yeah, we're in Waterdeep.
Right.
It's fine.
All right, let's do that.
So the wizard's dick is, remember, it's 2 days ride to Daggerford. The wizard's dick.
Oh, maybe it's a fun play on words. Withered dick, wizard dick.
It's a specific anyway. Fun play on words for somebody with my speech impediment.
The point is that it's a day's ride on a road that is now locked down.
Mm.
And the identification papers are in front of you. You can see that they are for 5 judicators. One of them, the captain of this unit, is a man called Portally, a quite handsome, dashing half-elf. Then there is the dwarf Desant, another human called Juves, a half-orc called Boondock, and a gnome called Gibbs.
I mean, I'll be Portally if that's what it takes.
Oh, I thought I'd kind of be the leady guy, but, yeah, no.
Does that mean I have to be Juves?
Technically, Bobson Dugnut is the leader of Cell 17.
Yeah, look, guys, I don't want to pull rank or anything. I think I'll be the leader guy. Well, I'll be Portally, and that's me, and I'll ride up the front. Bobby, you can be Desant, and you'll ride with me. You'll be Juves, Banknote. Filge, you'll be Gibbs. Bastron, you'll be Boondock. That's a bloody cool name. Boondock.
Boondock, that is cool.
Yeah, sorry, isn't Gibbs a goblin?
A gnome, yeah.
But if anyone of the other judicators knows...
At that point, he flourishes...
What's going on with that guy?
He flourishes quite proudly his wand.
Oh!
Bibbidi-bobbidi-boo, motherfuckers!
Bink, oh-ho. Bink, 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 bink. And now all of you are... In your own clothes, but you suddenly look like the figures that he's described.
And then we put the robes on?
And now you are dressed as
judicators. Oh, that'd be smart, actually. Yeah, put the robes on. I was going to sell these.
Okay, let's go to this wizard dick. Come on.
All right, off we go.
I immediately run under as many people's legs as I can.
You clock yourself on the groin of another person in the room because you are still roughly the same size.
Oh!
Wait, not in your injured gooch.
Oh, right in the dick.
Oh no!
Oh yeah!
Oh, Gaston, me so sorry. How many hits do you get to your gooch?
Only one more and I'll die.
Oh no! was wasted.
So as we're heading, are we on a wagon or something?
You're in Janos's office, but. Bobson has the Judicator's wagon outside, and you can see that it's got crates in the back of it and a flat-top bed sort of back that's full of crates and some low benches where the other Judicators can sit, and then there's space for 2 Judicators to ride up front and then 2 mules.
Okay.
Hey, so quick question. If anyone stops us and says, hey, what's up, Judicators, what would a Judicator say? Would they be like, I love Strahd, or would they be like,
we serve the Masked Lord. This is what we do. Come on, let's just go.
We serve the Masked Lord. Okay, right. Well, I'm sure.
We're working out as we go. There's no point talking about it. Let's just get it. Come on. Time is of the essence.
Okay. All right.
Are we leaving tomorrow?
No, we're leaving now. Come on. We're
leaving right now.
The delivery has to go. And we're having a nap at the inn. This plan was already discussed.
I'm a adjudicator, and I need to deliver the things that are in these boxes.
Yeah, I'll tell you about it on the way, guys.
All right.
I got some good intel.
Baston, not very confident with improv.
Using one of the many sewer paths under the Beggar's Court that leads just outside the city, the hour is probably about 4 a.m. The sun is just beginning to peak over the side of the hills as you make your way outside Strahd's lockdown city of Waterdeep. Now it is an incredibly dangerous time to travel. The streets are incredibly empty even at this time. As you ride east towards Daggerford on the old trade road.
Okay, pop quiz. I'm Portally. Bobby, who are you?
I'm Desant, but I don't know what race I am.
Well, look at yourself.
He doesn't have a mirror. Wait,
you're
what
a dwarf.
Does he look like?
I'm a dwarf. Oh, a dwarf. Okay.
Oh, Desant. Well, let's find. I'm not going to remember. So let's find a ramp. Desant, the what? The ant.
Desant the ant.
Okay, Desant the ant. Banknote. Who are you?
Hello, my name is Juves.
Juves?
Juves? hooves like a horse.
Well, he's a human, but yeah, humans like to ride horses.
And I'm very human. You can see that I have classic human traits, like my love for chocolate and also my hatred of peanuts.
Maybe that was really good, Bake Note, but maybe if we get stopped or anything, you don't need to really say a lot. That's fine.
Okay.
Filge, who are you?
Me and Gibbs. Goblin Gibbs. Just remember that. Gibba.
Again, you're a gnome, but Gib the Goblin is fine for a nickname.
Baston, we don't need to go you. You're bloody Boondock.
I'm a gnome.
Boondock the clock, because I always know what time it is.
And what time, is it?
Being a half-log time.
I literally told you what time it was.
I'm not good at improv, okay? Just don't ask me any fucking questions or this is over.
Okay, so
shit.
Look, I think if we get stopped, it'll be a sort of a me and Bobby deal. But yeah, we've got the crates in the back. Easy peasy bloody delivery, okay, guys?
And
let's have a peek in these crates.
I'll let you in a second. Dasan, also, you have a crossbow. The rest of you all have short swords, as the judicators normally use. Okay. Do you want to open up one of the crates?
Yeah, let's have a look.
Let's have a peeky
poo. Give me one open.
All right, there's a crowbar, so you don't need to roll anything. You open up one of the bigger crates to the side. It's a large crate. Like
inside? Like it's babushka crates?
No, I'm just saying this is a big, like about 3 feet by 3 feet large crate, and as you open it up, you can see that it is full of branding irons, thumb screws, manacles, and like long wicked knives.
Ooh.
And it seems to be completely full. Like this is what you see up, you know, at the top of it.
Can I do a perception check? Thumb screws.
Yeah, you can make a perception check. What's it for, though? Let me know.
Let's just see if there's any like hidden bottoms or secret compartments.
Go for it.
Mine's right out here.
Put that away, Baston.
I'll hide it
again. It's glinting off the full moon. It'll bring attention.
Full moon?
That was a six.
You look at it and you realize, just because you checked, you still notice something.
Oh, would it be an investigation check rather than perception? Mm. Okay, sorry. I rolled wrong thing. That's a 24.
I rolled wrong thing.
Okay. You notice that there is a false bottom to the crate.
Ooh, not mine.
What the fuck is wrong with you, Eden?
Live your truth, Eden. Don't let the haters get you down.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you.
Looking inside, you can see that that actually all those sort of torture implements are only a couple of inches deep, and then there's another, there's a straw and another piece of fake wood. There's like a wooden shelf, and underneath that, there's more equipment if you pull it away.
Ooh.
And what is this equipment?
Are you going? You'll have to dismantle it.
Is it
an open
wagon?
No. These are crates at the back of this open wagon. So if you dismantle this, you can, but it's likely that somebody who's knowing what to expect will see the damage to it.
That's not true. I'm, I think I could tinker away and fix this up. We could patch it up.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I'm a smith. I could do it.
No, actually, well,
a woodsmith?
As an artificer. Wow. Yeah, Hing, you probably could. So, yeah, Hing can probably repair it if you want. Banknote can probably repair it if you want to have a little look inside.
I've got the tools. Skills. Let's have a look.
You gonna open it up?
Yes. Let me open it up because I don't trust any of your ham-fisted tomfoolery.
Imagine if your fists were ham.
So what do I have to roll, Dave?
Okay. So nothing to pry open in is easy. It's just when you're going to try and fix it later. So you pry open a few more of the boards, and you can see that it is densely packed with what looks like flagons. There is like bundles of kind of a crepe paper, And then there are, underneath this, there is like some Hessian sacks filled with breads, cheeses, Chultun spices, olives, a lot of food as well. And then sitting on top of it is a big metal, what looks like a kind of wand that's placed on a stand. And as you touch it, as you're moving past it, the ring that you're wearing, the iron ring, banknote, starts to glow. And you suddenly realize that this is a wand of dancing lights. You've got a rush of identifying magic, of what this magic item does. This is a magic item that casts the cantrip dancing lights. And it obviously spells them out when it's activated to make a message.
Oh, okay.
What does the message say?
What does the message say?
You don't know the command word, so you don't know exactly what it is.
I see.
Goo goo gaga.
So we got some flag. Are the flagons full of anything?
I'll sniff one of the flagons.
It smells alcoholic.
Huh. I'll take a sip.
Okay.
It's alcohol. It's booze.
What kind though, Dave? Paint a picture. What flavors are entering my mouth?
Peaches. It's margarita.
There are flagons of margarita.
Wait, margarita so mix?
Pre-mixed
no,
margarita?
No. Oh, yeah.
Fully mixed one, margarita.
There's a flagon of margarita mix, a flagon of Contro, and a flagon of
tequila.
Of fantasy tequila. Right.
Well, that explains why all these flagons have salt around the rim.
It's the Chultun Tej. It's Tej.
Chultun. This must be going to some Chult guy. But what's a Chult person doing in Daggerfoot?
No, this stuff came from Chult.
Now you're going to... Are you going to try and pack this all up again?
Yes, I'll pack it up again now.
Because it does not... Now when you're looking at it, there's not enough space in this box to fit all this shit.
So
somehow they had it all... Okay, make for me quickly a intelligence check. You can add proficiency to it because you're an artificer.
If you can Tetris the things back into the box correctly.
Yeah, smash it. The Destructor. 5 plus 18 is 23.
23 is enough. All right, so very carefully... Banknote lodges back down the wand, the food, the tequila, and then the wood, and then lays down the torture implements, and then manages to nail in the spikes that are holding in the crate. Looks like it hasn't been touched.
So someone is trying to smuggle food and spices underneath knives and torture implements.
And crepe paper and this wand and olives.
You mean crepe paper? Like...
Yeah, it's like brightly colored parchment of some kind. All of this stuff.
Hmm.
And by about now you're traveling, so you're about an hour away. I assume you've been traveling all night.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just getting to the inn that you were going to. The withered dick.
Bobson.
So this is. Your last chance to talk before you arrive at the inn.
Who is the contact we're meant to meet, Bobson?
A guy called Brandon, I think. That's what they said to me.
Brandon.
Some Brandon guy. Anyway, they were very drugged by that
Brandon
point.
The other night.
No, he ran away.
Oh, Brandon. Alright.
Alright, so, and so the sun...
Should we try?
No, but here's the thing, guys. This is the best part. There aren't even going to be any adjudicators there. They said that Brandon said you just turn up, you drop the stuff down, and then you go.
You'll be a day out of Waterdeep. You'll be past most of... And while you've been travelling, by the way, there have been, you've seen at distance, other adjudicator patrols, but they've seen the colour of your wagon, and from a distance they've waved you on. So you've gotten through a few rounds now of patrols.
All right, well, what's the plan? Let's see what happens.
We just meant to drop it off. Maybe we drop it off and then one of us hides and sees who's to come pick it up.
Bobson explains, at the Withered Dick, there is a barn outside. All we have to do, this is what Brandon said, is that this is a normal thing. They're just sending materiel to Daggerford. We leave it at the barn. Someone else picks it up the next day. We're gone by then.
Hmm.
But don't we want to go to Icewind Dale?
Yeah, your plan, sorry, because I was there, your plan is to go to Daggerford. Now, we have a contact picking us up from the Withered Dick in the morning, and then we're home and bloody hosed.
Right.
So we're just going to stay the night in the inn, lay low.
Exactly.
What we pick
we'll
up,
have a drink.
Just, like, wait
we'll,
for the contact.
We'll tell some stories. I'll get a guitar. I'll play some James Taylor. You know, we'll have a sing-along. It'll be nice. These people are provincial.
There are networks of sympathetic types all over the Sword Coast that help. The resistance is bigger, remember, than Waterdeep. So this is part of the underground network that connects Janos Mir's resistance across the Sword Coast.
Right, because I think the dudes who we stole this wagon off are probably resistance people, right? Does that make sense?
No, they're not. They're definitely... This was stolen from... The reason that they stole this wagon is because they knew it was going to an inn that the resistance innkeeper is sympathetic
to. Are you saying
to.
That they're secretly... the five people that I drugged and maybe killed, are you saying that they were secret resistance people?
Well, look at the stuff that is hidden in these crates. It's not... They're hiding the foods and things like that underneath the implements of evil.
Oh, I've got to say, if that's the case, I'm going to be really cross with myself.
Because now that I think about it, I'm sure at least one of them died.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. All right. Well, we'll figure it out when we get to the inn.
Yeah, yeah. All we have to do is go to the inn, drop it off, wait for our contact tomorrow. It's
all right,
fucking
so
simple.
You make your way down to the Withered Richard, and which is, as I said...
And unfortunately, by the way, when you approach the inn, the signage is so worn by time and elements that you can't see if it's wizards or withered. So...
It's like one of those outlines of like a thing.
Exactly.
But it could be a man holding out a wand, a wizard, or it could be...
It's very hard to say. And as you make your way in, you've traveled for the better part of the day and the sun is beginning to dip again. It's about 7 p.m. as you make your way into the yard outside this inn that is desolate, is otherwise empty. This halfway point between Daggerford and Waterdeep. Just a simple two-story inn with a large barn outside. And as you ride under an archway into the yard, your hearts suddenly sink. Or depending on your level of adrenaline, go up into your mouths because you can see standing in the yard waiting for you is the figure of Adjudicator. Bobson's information is wrong. Your wagon rolls up and he holds up his hand, gloved, and you fall silently to a stop in front
guys,
of him.
Guys, be very cool. Hail!
Hail?
We've got the...
You come from Waterdeep?
Yes, with the... And he says very softly, I'm not good at improv. Desant here, you'll find his... Yes, and his papers are in... in order. Descent. Yes, and you can explain.
We have a delivery here. Usual tools of the trade. Your finest thumb screws and doodads and whatnots. We're just stopping here for a rest. As you would well know, our messenger came beforehand and let us know of our arrival.
Did you say thumb screws?
Yes, weapons of oppression, you know, that we like to use, you know, oppressing the people.
If it is thumb screws, then your business is in the barn. Did you come from Brandon?
Yes.
Yes, head to the barn.
Thanks.
You're needed inside there, I believe.
Okay. Cool.
He doesn't. He cool. looks at you as two other judicators come out questioningly, obviously ready to search the barn, but he waves them back and then waves you on.
We're cool.
As you,
thanks, dudes.
You go past the inn and come to a park outside, and it's getting quite dark now, and you can see that there are some lights on inside this barn, but otherwise there's no one outside. You've gone around the corner of the inn, so they can't see you again. As you come to a stop. And there's a figure that steps out of the inn with a lantern and beckons you to come in.
Hello.
It's another judicator.
Hello.
Drive this sucker in.
My name's Juves. I love chocolate and I hate peanuts.
Yeah, Juves, hi. It's Tim.
Hello. Tim, yes, hello. Yeah. We're going into the into the...
Yeah, yeah. You alright, mate?
Yeah, no, I love chocolate and I hate peanuts.
That's... I didn't know that about you, but...
Oh, you didn't? No, I did. Very, very human thing. What race are you?
Gibbs, is that you?
You're making a goblin noise?
Yeah, Gibbs, you best find your way into that barn right away with that crate.
9:36 is the time that it is.
Okay, Boondock.
Okay.
Gibbs, you go in first. You're needed.
The rest of you. And they point, coincidentally, at the crate that that Banknote had already opened. It says, take that crate in first. You can bring the rest around later. They need it in there.
Okay.
Okay, so do we all go and, like, lift it off and carry it all inside?
We all carry it together, all yeah. four of us.
Not you, Gibbs. You go in first. The rest of them, they can take that with them.
All right. All
right. Okay.
Okay. So
I walk in.
Right, the rest of you are following?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Carrying the crate.
Okay, you walk slowly into the room, Gibbs. The figure that has a scarf over their face, obscuring their face, but is otherwise wearing the livery of a adjudicator, opens the barn doors wide, and in the gloom you can see the room is mostly unlit, but the light that was spilling out from the other side is a lantern at the far end of the barn, casting just a small amount of light in front of a table that has been meticulously cleaned. Otherwise, the room is shrouded in darkness.
What's going on?
And without saying anything, the figure in the scarf pushes you on your shoulder and points at the table.
Dinner. Yum, yum.
He obviously wants you to walk over to the table.
Off I go, walking to the table.
So you're going to?
Yeah, just telling anyone around, walking to the table.
Okay, slowly, Filch, you walk to the table at the far end through the darkness as the light of the lantern slowly hits your face, and then you hear a sulfuric hiss, and there is a spark, and then another spark, and another spark as lanterns around the room open up as the other dragon friends bring their crate in. And then at that moment, suddenly a banner descends from the ceiling as somebody yells out the words Desirito, causing the top of the crate to burst off, revealing the wand on a pedestal that rises up, creating sparking out in the light. Happy birthday, Gibbs, as judicators burst out from behind every bale of hay and table on the side, all of them holding flagons as everybody cheers.
Huzzah!
Oh my goodness gracious me.
And you see the figure of Brandon, the adjudicator that you mentioned before, run forward, slap you on the shoulder and pat you on the chest.
Oh, Gibbs, oh bloody hell, yeah, we all put it together and these guys here, they didn't even let up. They all the whole wagon ride, they didn't know. I bet they knew, they helped me plan it, but I bet they didn't say anything.
Oh, you bugger.
All right, come up here, come up on the stage.
Yeah. Speech.
Yes,
speech.
Is that Baston?
Yeah.
Right, everybody picks it up. Baston starts speech. It, but everybody starts yelling, speech, speech, speech.
Now, I don't want to say a lot.
Now, I had a sore throat before, but you don't seem to mind this voice, so I'm going to keep using it. Ah, fellas.
Why would we mind that voice? That's the voice you've always used.
Yeah, that's right. What's your... it's bloody cocksucker. What's your...
Excuse me?
I've got nicknames for all of you here.
Excuse me? One of them says...
And Boondock yells out, he's like, Gibbs, tell us that funny story about that time at the place. You know the one.
Oh, tell us all of tell us all our private nicknames.
Well, yeah, it's a cocksucker over there.
Excuse
classic.
Me.
I'm gonna call you all your nicknames tonight, boys. There's Mama Judy, and there's Daisy Pants. Look at your sight for sore eyes. Fellas, when I got into the adjudicating business, I had to leave my family far behind, but I'm so happy to say I've found a new one here tonight.
George's grammar is incredible at this point.
It's different. It changes. Make a persuasion check.
Can't she do it when she's pretending for some reason? No, probably not. Perception. What kind of check, sorry? Persuasion?
Persuasion.
Oh, I'm rolling like a king tonight. 22.
There is a massive cheer.
Alright, well, look, Gibbs said it better than I could. Happy birthday, Gibbs. You know, happy 40th. And there's like a wall of like etchings of Gibbs as a baby and stuff.
So they put a lot of work into this.
Wait, the etchings say Steven? Gibbs is
where's
a baby?
Where's Steven?
He's bloody here. Is Filge saying that? Is Filge asking where a man she just murdered is?
Well, she was there.
To be fair, I murdered.
Yeah, Steve couldn't make it. We gave him the instructions. He's not. Is anyone actually? That's a good, because he said he was gonna be. Has anyone seen Steve?
He's written a song and everything, so I'm sure he'll be here later.
He'll be here. He'll be here.
But guys,
how many adjudicators are there, Dave?
It's like 20. In the small barn. All right, packed in.
Banknotes. Banknotes gonna, in the character of Judith, gonna step up and be like,
"Well, everybody, who wants to play a fun birthday game?"
What voice is that, Juves?
I'm trying a new thing. It's a new thing I'm trying.
That's not normal.
I know, it's a new thing I'm trying. What do you think? It's pretty cool, eh?
Are you just talking in a sotto voce kind of thing?
I guess.
No,
I don't know.
It was me. I bet him he couldn't swallow a sword, and he did, but, you know, he sounds rough now.
Anyway, who wants to play a birthday game?
All right, well, me? You know, Juves, guys, we're all here. We've had a few, so, does he need to roll something?
I'll need a couple of volunteers. Let's say, Boondock, Gibbs, Baby,
You trying to say Baby King?
Oh, have you guys heard about this bloody Baby King? Boo! Everybody boos.
Oh, and it...
Boo. What a terrible idea.
Your name is... Desant? Is it Desant? Get over here. Okay, the three of you over here. Now, everyone else... what we need is everyone else to kneel down against that wall over there. Okay? And close your eyes.
Well, all of us.
Everybody kneel down. It's part of the game. It's part of the game, everybody.
It doesn't work.
Well, I thought that you've got all the food and the olives and that we were just going to have nachos, but you want us to close our eyes and all stand at this wall.
For the game to work,
it's a great game. It's really
kneel down.
I mean, they're drunk, but
with it, no, with advantage.
You've got to put some effort in.
Persuasion check. Yeah, I mean, you guys, what the fuck, man?
I'd like everybody to kill themselves. That would be good.
I got a 13 and a 15, so I'll take the 15. And yep. Persuasion is plus 8, so 23.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, everybody. This is going to be bloody good. I don't know if anybody knows this, but Juves is something of a game imagineer. He's created many of the games that we
play. I used to work for the Disney Corporation, and this is a game I invented for them.
At the barracks. Everybody come on in. Boondock, he didn't mention you, so come with us. Come with us.
No, I did.
Said three people.
I said Boondock.
No, he did.
Oh, you're right. Sorry, Bobson. Bobson, come and kneel with us. You didn't mention
Bobson's
name.
Bobson's name is Portally.
No,
so.
Portally. You didn't say Portally. Portally, come and kneel with us at this wall.
Fair. We'll all have a kneel. Yeah, great. Hey, I think
Why don't you kneel? Bobson, Portally, why don't you kneel at the front? Because you should kneel at the front because you know these guys are the best.
This is going
all right, we're all going to close our eyes
it's
now.
It's going really well. The four of them, what I can think of. Yeah, I'll have a bloody lean.
Yep, okay, Bobson. It's good for, good for you.
And then we're all going to slowly back towards the door.
Uh-huh.
We're all slowly backing towards the door and...
How are they all? Are you telling them to?
I'm like motioning with the hands, like, okay. And then
I'm going to use...
Banknote, are you going to burn this barn down?
I'm going.
Is that what...
Shh, no, we're playing a fun game.
Oh, good. I hope you don't murder
seriously,
more.
What are you doing?
Okay.
What's the plan here, man?
You look for a second, you see 20 quite young faces of the of people who have joined the Judicator program, at the center of which is Bobson Dugnut, your friend that has traveled with you. No, I'm not. It's yeah, fine. Yeah. I'm just saying.
I know.
Since the days of
it's
Tokyo,
a war, Dave.
You're completely allowed.
Also, banknote is not as attached to Bobson as the rest of us.
Conversely, Bobson is a good boy. I mean, banknote is a good boy.
No. So yeah. So what are you going to do?
That's
Hing?
True.
And he's not staring at their faces. He's staring at the back of their heads. So,
I'm going to infuse my fantasy rocket launcher with. So I can have it say a one sentence. So the one sentence I'm going to say is the.
So you can do this. You can use you can even a minor artificial property that it when it fires it says
it
something.
It says something, and it's going. Sorry, magical tinkering. Sorry, and it's going to say the repeating shot Tim thing that I had to say. I just need to say I'm using repeating shot when I fire it.
No, you had to say that. It's not in the world.
No, I'm recording it in my voice, so it's being said
in Michael Hing's voice.
No, in Bob. In, find it.
No, but you had to tell me you were. When I said you have to say it, I meant that you, Michael Hing, had to tell me you were casting a spell. Are you using a magical ability in the game to say that to me?
I think I misunderstood the rules of the game.
Dave, I have a question. What role would I have to, for Baston, have to make to produce the very realistic sound of a fart, either in the armpit or with his, the elbow pit, you know? What kind of role?
A 12, but why?
A 12, because Baston's gonna go... Who farted? That's the game. The game is who farted. All of your eyes were closed. You don't know. Ha ha ha. Ha ha.
Ha. Good game.
Baston looked at Banknote. He's like, look, let's just get drunk. We'll sneak off when they're all drinking. Let's just play a game of shots and we can get the hell out of here. It'll
These
be fine.
People have joined an evil regime. Okay? It's a fucking war. And you're here telling me you want to get drunk with them? You're a fucking coward, Baston. You're a fucking coward.
It's not the way of the 11.
Okay, everybody. Thank you for coming to my party. Let's
shots
play
all around.
Shots and let's say truth and a shot. So everyone say something true about what you've been doing at work.
Did we say shots and there is a voice behind you at the doors? Well, it seems that I've arrived just in time. Uh-oh. And a figure in a huge dark greatcoat arrives, and it is the figure you recognize that some of you recognize, not you, Filge, having seen him only a few days before on the docks of Deepwater Harbor, it is the figure of Judicator Mannix as he walks into the room, pulling off heavy gloves and removing his jacket.
Okay, Banknote, maybe do the rocket launcher thing now. Maybe do it now.
But it is already too late, for the figure has walked into the room, and as everybody's eyes are again opening, the sight of 20 Judicators lined up against the wall, smiling in anticipation, fronted by the figure of Bobson Dugnut, see the eyes of their captain, Judicator Mannix, Lord Castellan of the Judicator movement from Waterdeep, who has arrived for a birthday party that is not to be forgotten, presumably on the instruction that he does not muck in with the boys enough, spotting the four of you. For now, your identity is still secret, but for how long can that be? Mannix is a powerful observer of the human condition, one trained for a long time to uncover deception, fraud, even magical malfeasance, who has found you here at this inn and does not yet know what he has caught. Such is the day-to-day life of an investigator as Mannix. Such is the day-to-day life of a party such as these four misguided fools we call the dragon friends. Thank you.
Ha, 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 ha.
The Dragon Friends are Alex Lee, Michael Hing, Eden Lacey, and me, Simon Greiner, and we're DM'd by Dave Harmon and Ben Jenkins. Dragon Friends is recorded in our homes in this age of isolation. Shakira Khan produces and designs our website. The podcast is mixed and mastered by Hugh Guest, with music this episode by Tom Cardi. Bye!
Where's Baston?
He was training in the jungle,
bombing pancakes.
He was running with the wolves.
Where was Fields?
Learning to read from a talking dog, yeah.
Where's Banknote?
He runs his papa's company,
Dark Lord Strut.
He's a very naughty man.
Why are we together?
The life of hope we call the Dragon Friend.
Every time. The point is, here's what we're going to do. We're going... So distracting. Hugh, they keep showing me snails.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.